It's your boy Pete Walsh, aka One Foot in the Booth, One Foot on the Strip. Back again, episode 19 of the Respect the Game podcast.
19, you're right.
You're keeping count?
Trying to.
Good job.
Here with my boy, Abe Schwadron.
Yeah, aka the person that tweeted, you should really follow Draymond Green's Snapchat 24 hours before that became a horrible idea.
AKA you were not wrong, AKA the right boys, AKA breaking news boys. And you already heard the voice. My son is back, young editor-in-chief.
I think you're his son now, actually. That's how it works.
My father is in the booth.
The father-in-chief.
Adam Figman, what's good, brother?
AKA Skylar Figgins.
Oh, AKA Andrew Figgins.
Adam Figadala.
Yo, how are you guys doing? I love the new setup.
Thanks, brother.
It's beautiful in here.
You're a big part of making this happen.
Yeah, this
so thank you.
Would not walls have happened
are,
without
the
you.
Walls are clean.
The walls are pearly white. We got a fridge in here. We got a whole lot of memorabilia in here.
The Frigidator.
So follow us on our respective Instagrams, and you'll see all the people coming through here looking wild, disheveled in the picture.
Hashtag, we are, not them.
Yeah,
you
not
guys,
them.
Yeah,
hashtag
you guys.
Disheveled boys.
All of our guests are looking real, real crispy.
Yeah, speaking of guests, we got Langston Galloway. He came through, blessed us with like 25 minutes of fire.
What a nice guy, man.
Literally one of the nicest
nice
human
guy.
Beings I've ever met in my entire life. Came through with his wife,
so cool.
Sabrina, recently married. We talked to him about his wedding, about joining the Pelicans, and you know, most interestingly, like what it's like playing on a 10-day contract, and
yeah,
you know how crazy that is, like when you hit day 8.
Yeah, and to his credit, he's totally willing to talk about all that, even though at this point he's basically an established NBA player, but he's still cool with talking about, you know, working his way up, because that really is his story, is the way that he made it.
I mean, immediately shot out my list of favorite NBA players.
Yo, how low-key fun is the New Orleans Pelicans going to be this year?
I mean,
we were thinking this throughout the whole interview.
He was like naming the players on the team, and he mentioned Shaq with no prompting, and
fact.
I was like, yes.
Yeah,
Shaq
Diallo.
Wait, who?
Etuan Moore,
Buddy.
Drafted,
yeah.
Yeah, they have like thirty guards. I love it. Tariq Evans.
Oh yeah,
they got rid of Eric Gordon, who looks just upset in every single photo of himself
made. We looked at a picture of Eric Gordon earlier, and I was like, this guy looks so mad. It was from when he was 16. I was like, damn, dude.
That's going to be – I mean, I've already stated, I think, that that's going to be my Western Conference girlfriend team this year.
The Pelicans?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm down.
League
I'm
pass
with
darlings?
It.
Yeah.
I'm with it. But
I'm not mad at it.
Anyway, as importantly, is that something we can say?
Perhaps as importantly.
You can say whatever you want, man.
This is our podcast, man. Do the heck we want.
Word. But yeah, no, the Kicks 19 cover officially out. Team USA looking, limbs looking very relaxed on the cover. Adam Figman helped orchestrate. You know, was juggling two jobs at the time, his real job, and on the low, getting the Kicks 19 cover in place. So, you know, we were up there, put Harlem for a photo shoot. Figs, why don't you just, you know, take us through the steps, how the whole thing came about, you know, any funny, good stories from the photo shoot, et cetera.
Yeah, it was definitely the time when I was transitioning back, I guess you could say. Ben was still in the building, so to speak, but had already, you know, given notice, if you will, that he's moving on. And I was established as the incumbent editor-in-chief. So there was a lot in flux, but they, you know, big shouts to Nike, who gave us basically some time with a few of the guys on the team. Draymond, DeMarcus, Kevin Durant, Kyrie,
Paul George.
Yeah. And they were cool as hell. We just got a room in their kind of set up in Harlem. They kind of had these guys doing a big media tour, just going from room to room, different media outlets, different social media things, just a whole, it was a hell of a just operation. They took over this whole building, and there were wires going up and down the hallways, and there was a lot going on. These guys had a crazy intense schedule, and they carved out kind of 15 minutes in the middle of it for us to do this photo shoot. The guys were cool as hell. They were cracking on each other the whole time.
Especially getting on Kyrie, too. That was the one thing I noticed.
Yeah, they were
there.
Just like, I mean, Kyrie's the only one that's below like 6'7".
Yeah, but he was also I mean, like he was
but
in there flaunting the fact that he's a champ
he's
now.
He's cool as hell right now. Yeah, so there's this like kind of hilarious dynamic about it. And they're all friends. I mean, we like to act like all these guys just hate each other because they play each other and on the court, you know, during the season. Yeah, but they're so tight with each other, and they're just cracking jokes. DeMarcus Cousins is a hilarious human. Draymond, I think everybody knows that his personality is outsized. Paul George is cool as hell. Kevin Durant's cool as hell. Kyrie is just, you know, just a cool dude that's, you know, probably has an underrated personality, I would say.
He's like a superstar.
He's always singing.
Point.
He's always cracking jokes. He's a real superstar. We did the shoot. Then you guys spoke a lot about the Vegas trip last week, but I was out there too doing some Nike things and kind of going along with, you know, went to USA practice, saw the USA team play, learned a lot about the different USA releases and wrote about all that in the new issue of Kicks, which is out now, next week. Yeah.
Word.
Everyone was just giving Kyrie crap, like, and I think he's fine with it given that he won a championship. But KD, I think at one point said, like, oh yeah, it's just like we put Kyrie in the front of the photo. If you've seen the cover, he's kind of in the middle there surrounded by the other big guys. And KD was like, oh, it's just Kyrie's world. We're just living in it. And Boogie was saying the same thing. He was like, wait, why don't I stand in the front? Like, the whole atmosphere was real cool just being around all those guys. Although getting them to stand still
was tough. It was
for
tough.
All of 10 seconds to take a photo is definitely a task.
Mostly it was just there's just so much going on. And, you know, they kind of gave us this time, but all the guys are running around separately on different schedules. So to get five of them in the room at the same time is not an easy task. And then they're all close friends. I mean, just imagine being with five of your buddies when you have this busy ass day and you finally have a chance to kind of crack jokes with one another. And now you have all these like editors and photographers being like, okay, stand here, hold your hands like this, hold your head like this.
Yeah. Take four of your best friends and try not to like pinch each other
without
flick each other's ear.
No jokes.
And, like
keep a serious,
yeah,
you know, we need a magazine cover pose. Like that's not easy. And we, you know, big shouts to Tom. Like we made it happen. I think for a second I was like, wait, did we actually get this shot? Because there was a lot going on there, and I don't know if we ever had that like moment of all of them being serious at the same time, but it existed somewhere in the middle there, and yeah, we got solo shots of all of them, and you know, it ended up being really cool.
What
I would say,
yeah, and I mean, we haven't even discussed the whole Melo influence on Team USA and just how he has become
father figure,
yeah, like the patriarch of Team USA, yeah. And that, not only that, but all the younger guys cracking on him. I mean, as we've seen via their amazing Snapchat feeds.
But that was it 2012? That was Kobe.
Kobe was
remember
the,
that?
Yeah, he was. But like
he
I
just
know,
looked
I feel
like he was like on a different plane than the rest of the guys.
Yeah,
so
but
to speak.
I guess I don't know. Kobe, I think personality wise, is probably a little much different than Melo in the sense that you know, Melo will probably embrace this a little more and has been embracing this a little more. But you know, I love seeing on Snapchat DeMarcus Cousins as being like, you know, Melo is old as hell and Draymond Green getting on him and all that stuff. So, you know, it's just a fun ass team. You know, Coach K is kind of being a curmudgeon with this whole thing and not letting
a
them
little.
Enjoy their,
all right.
Themselves.
So here's my thing. And maybe I don't know how you guys feel about this. My opinion on the coaching matter for Team USA is that whoever coaches the team and all the assistants for that matter should not be allowed to be employed by the NBA or the NCAA. I just don't like it.
Why?
I just think that it has this weird influence on, like, the coaches use it to recruit the player, the coach, you know, for both NCAA and even NBA. I just think it would be fun as hell. Like, we're probably approaching the point where the team is about to become under 23 or under 24 or under 22. They've been saying that for years, and now it's just, like, painfully obvious that sending our superstars, it's just that we just dominate, and it's not even...
Well, not a single player on this team would be able to play on a 23 and under
Yeah,
team.
Which is fine. Like, the team should be Carl Towns and...
Carl Towns can't play. He's Dominicano.
Okay, but I'm saying, like, that level of NBA player of, like, the young...
Okay,
you
no,
know,
I feel
the Devin
bad,
Bookers
my bad, my
and
bad.
The Jahlil Okafors and, like, those guys should be who we're sending. And the coach, I think, should be, like, an analyst who's taking a few years off or, like, a retired coach. How dope would it be if the coach was, like, Don Nelson came back from, like, to coach, you know, just this is his one coaching thing per every few years.
This
or like
a,
Jeff
this
Van
is a
Gundy.
Wild,
I like
wild,
this.
Wild.
Who should player. Be the? I don't understand the argument that an NCAA or NBA coach should be allowed to coach this team.
Well, I think a lot of it just has to do with the fact that they didn't win in 2004, and they kind of needed like Larry Brown.
We just need to like guarantee victory.
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
I don't want us to live like that.
Larry Brown was trying to get Allen Iverson. I don't like living like that either. You're right. Larry Brown was trying to get Iverson and Marbury off the Olympic team, like when they were in Greece.
It didn't work out. He just didn't have the. I don't want to say he didn't have the chops for it, but it was a bad match. It happens. But I don't think we should let that like dictate the way that we operate from here on out.
I'm trying to think of someone.
Why don't we just let like LeBron be the coach? He's not playing anyway.
Well, first of all, I think that would be awesome.
That would actually be really cool.
It's like LeBron's like AAU team in the Olympics.
I just think it's a little bit unrealistic of an option.
I don't think the players would like that.
But I'm saying, once you open it up to non-NBA coaches.
Yeah, but you know, there are so many coaches who've proven they're really, really good coaches. And
David Blatt, Randy Whitman.
Well, David Blatt, I think, hasn't he coached?
Mark Jackson?
Mark Jackson would be fair game. Yeah, okay. Just someone who's away from the game for a few years and, like, doing the TV thing and, you know, kind of wants to do some coaching here and there, or, like, someone who's just fully retired and just can cop back into the scene every 4 years or every 2 years, rather.
That could be Pop, though. How many years? How many years is Pop left?
It's such a cool, like, retirement thing, I think. You coach for a few weeks every 2 years.
Yeah, I'm not mad at that at all.
I like Don Nelson just drinking a Corona and kind of, you know, bossing players around. Someone like that, someone who has real chops.
And another note, as far as actual on play stuff, on court stuff, excuse me, I think DeMar DeRozan is approaching like Vince Carter levels of just banging on people's heads.
He might really do something in the Olympics. Reaches that.
I'm looking forward to that more than level. Anything. It's crazy.
First, it was like he's just taking advantage of opportunities, but now there are so many that it's like this dude is trying to
For sure
dunk
and
on
why
people.
Not the world is watching.
No, it's great.
This is his so opportunity fun. So I love
he
it.
Caught like a was that him that caught the three-quarter court alley-oop from Lowry two nights ago, whatever that was.
So I mean, he's just gonna leak out on defense and just get so many fast.
There were a couple
alley-oops.
Of Lowry. Yeah, they have good connection.
I love that too. Yeah. That it's Lowry throwing him the alley-oops.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's so
I
cool.
also, on a completely random note, I like that Lowry is rocking the headband.
I feel like
this is like if we're gonna destroy teams by 50, I feel like every guy should be required to wear like every accessory. In NBA 2K when you can like add all the accessories to your guy. We need like the full sleeves, wristbands. Like headbands,
we need
all
Boogie
that.
In the Rex packs, man, for at least one game.
All of that. I want to see all that.
That'd be amazing.
Yo, but the headband fits Lowry so well. It's like, why haven't you been
it
doing
truly
this
does.
Your
it truly
whole
does.
Career? It works perfectly.
I wonder if he'll keep that during the year.
I hope so.
What do you guys think of going to like a 21 and under team?
I wouldn't say 21. I like 23. 21 and under is just too young.
I mean, there are a lot of NBA players who are really good, and they're like 19, 20.
Yeah, but there's something to be said. I don't know. Like, I feel like that year in like...
Okay, 23, I'm fine with.
Like when Lamar Odom and Iguodala were on the FIBA team, and I think Odom was on an Olympic team as well.
Was on one Olympic team.
Well,
like the old heads, though, and kind of just taking all the guys under their wing, at least in the FIBAs. The Olympics is kind of a different story.
Plus, as is, it's... kind of a little easier to sort of filter it out, and you know, like the guys that are kind of eventually going to be on the team. I feel like if it was all much, much younger guys, how much harder would it be to figure out who the hell to take on this team?
Yeah, but it's not an unattainable.
Well, no,
job.
I mean, a lot of guys now are just not doing it, period. Wait, maybe I misunderstood.
No, that's what I'm
saying.
I mean, it kind of like, you know, by the end of the summer, we kind of knew who was going to be on the team. It was obvious
the guys
should be on the team.
Oh, right.
All
of
a sudden, it gets a little trickier.
Now you're saying it's like wide open.
Yeah, it's completely wide open.
But that's kind of fun. There's our tryouts, and they would actually, like, you would have to try out.
So what do? So you bring in those guys, and then you bring in, like, the top three high school recruits, too?
I think that would be fun as hell, but I wasn't even thinking about that.
Like, imagine Jason Tatum was on
like
this
matching
team.
Up against...
I don't know, though. Don't you feel like...
Well, how old was Anthony Davis when he was on? He was on in 2012. And he was like
young as hell.
18,
he was like
18, 19, right?
Yeah.
But he didn't even play.
But if the whole team is full of kids, I mean, they're still grown men.
Okay,
good
so here's
teams playing in the Olympics.
So here's a wrinkle to it. What if we did this? And you were talking about the coach thing in like, you know, an alternate universe in which LeBron could coach. What if assistant coaches, at least half of them, say, well, there's a ton of assistant coaches on these teams always, but they're like five or six.
Absolutely.
So let's say three of them were veteran NBA players who were doing it for the experience that were like kind of obviously poised to one day go into coaching that could also kind of mentor these younger dudes but during the experience.
Wouldn't they just play?
Not like an Elton
because
Brand.
They're not allowed. It's under 23 team per.
But we're saying they're not allowed.
Yeah, per USA rules, they're not allowed to play.
This is getting complicated.
Is it?
No.
Just how silly would it feel? How silly would it feel if we're down 5 in the last 3 minutes and Chris Paul is coaching instead of being on the floor?
It wouldn't feel I would be watching. The whole world would be watching, which isn't happening right now because by the fourth quarter, everybody's tuned out. So at least we wouldn't feel silly. We'd feel good about having a real competition. And it would be giving these young guys these reps and make them better for the future of their careers, which is better for the NBA.
Look, it sounds awesome. I mean, it does. It really does sound amazing.
It makes these young players better.
But to your point, you kind of see that on the high school level. Like, Chris Paul will go to his AU tournament and coach during the summer and stuff.
This is kind of an extended version
of that. Yeah, but I just feel like Coach K is and like, Jerry Colangelo are just, like, they're too like high class for something like that. Like,
why don't we just make it only sons of former NBA players can play on the Olympic team?
Only sons of former NBA
Klay
players.
Klay Thompson,
kind of a hot team.
Austin Rivers,
Glenn Robinson, Tim Hardaway.
I don't think Glenn Robinson
Glenn Rice
at the moment.
Jr.?
Oh, Glenn Rice is there. Yeah,
he may be unavailable.
Tim Hardaway, yeah.
You put LeBron James' kids on there already. They're ready. It could be like the 11th, 12th guys on the team. No.
Yeah, sure.
I think the problem with all of this is that we see it like, what if we lose is like this whole drastic, you know, like we lost in, what was it, 04?
Yeah.
And it was like, you know, a catastrophe.
They lost once.
Like as if it's the worst. Yeah. It's not, if we lose in Olympics, like the world will keep spinning. We shouldn't operate like.
Whoa. Like we can't. Is that science? Or?
Wait. Yeah, but I don't like
how. No science in here.
I don't like how all of our policies are like, wait, we have to make sure that we win. Which is why we're scared to like do an under.
Why?
What do you mean why? Like, let's go out there and get these young kids this good experience
but it's
to make them better.
Yo, you won't go to a presidential debate and
Yo,
have
you're
them
wilding
ask this
right
question.
Now.
I want to know which presidential candidate is going to make this happen for you.
You're going to let
Obama.
You're going to let the Russians come in and win gold, man?
No, we're still going to try our best, and we're going to have this really good squad out there.
Yeah, but you're saying. So you'd be cool if
I don't
want to
ruin
lost.
The competition by sending our best players.
You'd be happy with silver.
It doesn't matter whether
you
or not
be,
I'm happy.
You want to be the editor-in-chief of this magazine. You're good with second place.
It's a worldwide magazine. It's not America. I'm not only representing America here.
Father-in-chief.
Slam doesn't represent solely the United States of America.
I don't like this second place talk, man.
Nah.
But 04 wasn't it was an abomination.
It was?
Yes.
That team was actually
that was
pretty
third
dope.
Place, wasn't it?
That was third place.
They won
place.
Bronze, yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, that was bad.
Yeah, the coaching was terrible.
But
I'm going to fix that. But Don Nelson. And LeBron James as the assistant.
How old is Don Nelson's got to be pushing 80,
Don Nelson,
right?
LeBron James not going to go sleep in a mosquito net.
They don't
just
stay,
to be an
they don't
assistant
stay,
coach.
I promise
they don't
that's
stay
not
there.
What's happening
they
out there.
They do not stay
no.
there.
Wait,
those
what?
Guys are going to be living
they
very well.
They're staying in, they're definitely staying at like luxury hotels.
I mean, Carmelo's doing
Wait,
it.
But Andrew Bogut just tweeted a photo of
yeah,
like
but they,
setting up
like,
shop.
Australia doesn't have the
crappy
exactly.
Like,
no shots, but Australia doesn't have the status
the
or
the
budget.
Yeah.
Oh man, I really hope our Australian friends aren't listening.
Who, Nick Medeiros, the god?
Are you even saying that right?
No, definitely not. But he's been asking for a shout out for so long.
Well,
now
go.
He's gonna
right,
regret
go.
It because he just butchered his name. No, people don't know. I literally cannot pronounce anything. So this is just. A
I think
long...
you do squadron right.
Do I?
You're not even doing that right.
Never mind.
Schwadron, right?
Okay, actually, Pete does do it right.
I always thought Pete did it right.
Shout out
yeah,
to
he
the,
does.
Shout out to the kid who emailed you, Schwadron, and all three
yeah.
of us this week.
Tip of advice for anyone wanting a job or internship or to be a contributor. If you got to type someone's email and type their name correctly in the email address in order for the email to send, please spell it correctly in the body of the email as well.
I mean, all our names are in our email addresses, so.
I mean, it's just an instant delete, right?
I don't know. I'm not as harsh because, I mean, my own writing is still full of typos. So.
I'd rather you send me a meme on Twitter than send me a long email.
That's actually not
misconstruing my name.
Yo, be like, yo, we should open it up. Be like, yo, send your best GIFs. Like, that's your.
You mean GIF?
GIF, GIF. That's your. That's like.
We're the, not doing that.
You guys got anything else? I don't know.
Wait, I'm in favor of that idea, though. Good. I just said, when I said we're not doing that, we're not doing the GIF GIF argument that you guys have had one too many times over the past month.
Wait, what are you in favor of? I already forgot.
I do both. I'm gonna be real.
Best GIF or internship GIF. To the best meme.
But I'm in favor of internship to the best
GIF.
GIF?
GIF.
GIF.
Oh, you're in favor of that?
Yeah.
Oh, fire. All right. Well, for any...
Done and done.
I just don't want to have the argument about GIF versus GIF.
No, hell no. That's so done. I hate that argument.
I'm always here for it.
He's literally trying to spark it right now.
Let's get to this interview,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's about that time. So, you know, stay tuned. Langston Galloway. Well, lucky for you, you'll be able to hear it now.
True.
So, shout out to Langston Galloway and his wife, Sabrina. You know, Figs, glad to have you back, brother. Congratulations on closing your first kicks, not your first official slam, though. That's coming 2-0. We're at 2-0-2 now, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, 2-0-2, about to be very fire. We had the meeting yesterday. Looking forward to that. Abe, thank you as always.
Yeah, you know it. Excited for everybody to hear this Langston interview.
Hell yeah.
The Langcast is going strong. Yeah. Two straight Langs.
And also, quick story. So we might have to get a new segment on here called 6 Degrees of Jadakiss. Because since we've had Jadakiss on, then both Langs have like some sort of connection to him. So our new goal is to try and get every guest to have a connection.
I mean, Jadakiss, at some point, he may just be the host of this podcast.
Figs, what's the budget looking like?
I'll crunch some numbers for you.
All right, Joe, we'll be back next week.
Peace.
Yeah.
You're checking out the Slam Magazine Respect the Game podcast. You heard it first from your boy, Jada.
We're joined now by new Pelicans guard, Langston Galloway. He's in town for a few days. Langston, thank you for joining us, man. We really appreciate the time.
Nah, thanks for having me on.
So, you're actually our first NBA in-person NBA interview to come into the studio, so thanks very much, man.
Hey, I'm joining some legendary legendary status right here. That's nice.
You actually have had two big events this summer, obviously, with the signing of your new contract, but you also got married, right?
Got married this summer as well.
Congrats, man.
Congratulations. How was the wedding?
Oh, it was amazing. Yeah. I just to give a little info on it, I ended up with my shirt off. So.
Oh.
So it was a crazy night.
Okay, J.R. Smith.
Yeah. I know, right?
You channeled your inner J.R. there, huh? Yeah,
shirt off shorty.
So what? You got, how many people were there?
There was about, I want to say, close to 250.
That's big.
Yeah.
And this was in big. Louisiana?
In Louisiana, in Baton Rouge, yeah. It was a great time.
Cool. So who was, like, were any of your cousins, like, getting real wild, or was it, like, were you guys mostly tame?
Nah, everybody was tame, but, I mean, I guess I was probably the craziest there. I was like, hey, it's my wedding, I might as well enjoy it and have a good time. But my wife, she had a great time.
Yeah, too, your wife is here. She's not shaking her head, so yeah, she seems to approve.
Yeah, she approves. She definitely approves.
Any other NBA players there?
Thad Young, that's one of my cool homies. Okay. He came through and that was it pretty much. Yeah. So.
Right. Dad's from Louisiana too, right?
He's from Louisiana officially. Yeah. I mean, well, originally, and then he moved to Memphis growing up. So
very cool. So I mean, what brings you back to New York now? I know, you know, obviously you're playing New Orleans next year, so just tell us why you're in town, what you got going on. Do you still have your apartment up here?
Literally just left Westchester to close it up and finish it up. And it was definitely a sad moment, but it's definitely an exciting moment because we're closing this chapter and going to a new one. Coming to the city, I had two camps. Camp last week with Terry Teachout.
I went to teacher's camp when I was
did
a kid.
Did you?
Yeah.
Wow, yeah. Yeah, no, I had a great time. Great time there. I think the kids enjoyed it. We tried to make it as fun as possible, and then I tried to be interactive with the kids. And then this week I had Basketball City over on the Pier 36, and I mean it's been great. Today's actually the last day, so I'm just out there trying to play with them and try to just teach them a few different things that they can learn and pick up and take forward when they continue to move on with their careers.
Very cool.
Is it crazy to you now, sort of being like that guy at the basketball camp? You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, it's definitely weird. I think last year when I got a chance to really like sit back and say, whoa, like I'm the NBA guy and I'm the guy that this camp is for. It's like different. So, but I enjoy it. I love it, and I just want to make the most of it so that these kids can definitely look up to me and try to be a positive influence for them.
What kind of coach are you at the camps? Like, we've seen some videos this summer of and other NBA guys like dunking on the campers and stuff. Have you done anything like that? Cross anybody up, or are you like a nice guy?
No, I try to cross up the kids as much as possible. no dunking over here. I just try to cross them up, and the kids are always asking, "Hey man, can you dunk on me?" And this, and I'm like, "No, I can't do all that. I don't want to have any suits on me."
That is a weird thing. Like, for some reason, kids always want to be dunked on.
Yeah.
Why?
Yes.
I mean, Carl Anthony Towns had the most vicious dunk I've ever seen a kid. I mean, he just like he was playing in a game. He took one big step and just banged on this poor kid.
He kneed the kid in the chest. Like, he literally hit him in the chest and like went up. Boom.
So I mean, obviously you got to be excited to head back to Louisiana to be playing next year. So you know, when you got that call, like, what was going through your head? Just what, you know, explain that feeling, what it's like to know you're going to play for the hometown team.
It definitely was a shock. I didn't think it was coming, and then all of a sudden things just started materializing, and it worked out. And I was really excited because, I mean, it's a dream come true to play back home, play in front of the home fans, and definitely play in front of my friends and family. And I think it's definitely going to be a great opportunity for me just to help the team go out there, play hard, and just try to continue to build the legacy of the Pelicans and try to get better.
How does that – take us inside a little bit. Like, how does the actual process work? Like, this summer, do you sit down with your agent and talk about different teams? Do you just kind of wait until they get presented to you? Like, how does the whole summer work in free agency like that?
So for the most part, so going into the summer, I was a restricted free agent.
Right.
So that means that I can only talk with the Knicks, and then any other team, I get the best offer and then come back to the Knicks. So I started out being a restricted free agent beginning of summer, and then went on to, I guess, the first 3 days became unrestricted. So then I can definitely talk with any other team. But it definitely was weird going into it because me and my agent, we were sitting down talking about it, just trying to figure out what were the possibilities of different teams out there that were looking at me. And then once we had an idea of, like, what were some good possibilities and where I could end up, we just tried to go forward and just try to get the best fit. And I think that the Pelicans definitely was that fit. And we knew it probably, I guess, before the last day, like July 6th, night, we knew a little bit going into it, and July 7th we end up signing.
Is that difficult though? I feel like, because probably, you know, once you become an unrestricted free agent, right, you probably have people back home like in your ear like, yo, you should come play for New Orleans. Like, is it hard to separate that from, you know, what's best for you and your career and the business side of everything?
Yeah, that's tough. That's the tough thing, because you have so many friends and family back home that want you to say, hey, man, come to the Pelicans. And then you have other friends that might be somewhere else in the country say, hey, come play for us. But it's tough. It's a lot of different things that go into it.
Yeah, and I mean, is that a nerve-wracking experience, especially for a player like yourself? You know, you came into the league on a 10-day contract. Mm-hmm. You know, you play a few years with the Knicks, and then all of a sudden, like, you're kind of in this little bit of a limbo phase. You know, were you able to enjoy your 4th of July barbecue at least, knowing that the contract wasn't done yet?
Yeah, me and my wife, we actually enjoyed it because we were out in L.A. at the time. Pretty much the whole free agency, like all that transaction, we were out in L.A. I was out there working out with my trainer, Drew Hanlon.
Cool.
And just working out with him. And then, I mean, things just kept going on. And I said, look, let's go out to dinner and just enjoy, because our wedding was, I mean, literally, what, 7 or 8 days before that. It was June 25th. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it was definitely a lot going on.
Word of advice, never forget that date.
never forget the date.
Well, I mean, I kind of wanted to ask you a little bit about, you know, just the path of your career, because as Pete said, you know, you got here based off of what you did on a couple 10-day contracts and playing in the D League. Like, what is it like being in the D League for most of us that just see the NBA guys, you know, like all the glory of being in the NBA, basically?
Yeah.
What is it like grinding and being in the D League? I mean, it was a pretty short stint for you, as it turned out.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
What was that experience like?
No, it's definitely, like you said, a grind. You go from city to city. I mean, you literally go from city to city. You might play one night, and then you have a back-to-back, but you have to leave that city at literally 5 a.m. that morning. And you have to play that night. So, like, you get to the city at probably about 10 or 11 o'clock. You get a little napping, and then, I mean, you're back on the court to play. I mean, it's definitely a little different in the NBA because you get a couple of days in between. And, and you do have the back-to-backs, but you leave right after the game and get down to the city.
So. You're flying commercial, right?
You're flying commercial as well.
So that first time you stepped on the charter plane with the Knicks. We were just like, this is lit. Like, yeah, I'm out here with Melo. This is crazy. I'm never going back.
The first thing I'm like, where do I sit at? It's like literally right. 15 seats in the front. He's just like, all right, well, I guess I'm in the front of the plane. It's nice.
Yeah.
And then you get free food. I'm like, whoa, you get free food too?
And then what about, like, you know, the on-court's got to be totally different, too, because every single person, you know, is trying to basically do what you did,
yeah.
You know, earn their way slowly and then eventually make it in the NBA. So how does that end up working out on the court?
Yeah, no, it's definitely, I guess you say, it just worked out with Westchester. We had a system where we would go out every night. It was everybody being unselfish and just going out there and playing hard. And as my role for the team was just going out there, being a leader, trying to, facilitate and then also just try to pick my spots to try to score. And I think that I did a great job at that, just trying to help everybody around me, because it was definitely tough because, I mean, the coach, that was his first year. It was the first year of the organization, and it was, like, a lot of new guys on the team. So we were just trying to, I guess you say, I was the older guy on the team, even though because I went to school for 4 years. So right. I was like, I'm the older guy, so I had to be able to monitor everybody. So I think I did a good job of that, and then I think that's why I got my opportunity so early.
Do you remember, we actually looked, so your first game was against the Pelicans, I think,
first
right?
First start.
Yeah, that was the second 10-day, second 10 days.
Was that in New Orleans?
No, it was here. It was in the Garden, yeah. Right. It was crazy because my birthday was actually against the Pelicans when I went got called up. It was against the Pelicans, New York versus Pelicans, back in New Orleans, which is December 9th, and I wasn't called up yet. I thought, like, maybe I might get a shot of getting called up early.
Good birthday present.
Yeah, it'd be a great birthday present. But then I didn't get called up January 7th. And then that's why I got called up, and we played the Wizards that night down in D.C. So.
Cool. So what was it like when John Wall was coming down at you?
Yeah, it was definitely different. It was different because, I mean, you're playing in a D-League against, like, guys that you've seen in college, and then now you're playing against pros that, I mean, a lot older than you and different things like that. And, I mean, it was definitely a great opportunity for me to go out there and showcase my skills. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm curious, like, you know, at the end of, let's say, on day 9 of your 10-day or whatever, where is your head at? Are you putting a lot of pressure on yourself, or are you just leaving it up to whatever may happen? I feel like on day 8, 9, 10, if it was me, I would be like, oh, shit, like, I got to really play well tonight or whatever.
Yeah. Now, it was good because I had a couple older guys that was going through the same thing with me. It was Lance Thomas and Lou Almison.
All three of you guys stuck around, too.
We all were actually – I got called up, I think, probably like 3 or 4 days before they got called up. And and we were just going through the process. I think the first game I played all right. The second game I played better. And then, like, I guess, like, day 4 or 5 when they got called up, I was like, man, like, this is crazy. Like, what do I have to do now? And they're like, no, just take it day by day. Just be patient. Like, hey, you're aware about the next 10-day when it comes. If not, then you just can continue to take it one day at a time, and everything will take care of itself.
Yeah, and that's cool that you and Lance went through that together, and now you both got nice contracts. So have you been in touch with them at all and be like, man, like, it's crazy, like, we did it? Or, I mean, are you cool with Lance still?
I'm still cool with all the guys on the team. We actually talked probably like 5 or 6 days ago. We both were just congratulating each other because he's been out the country, just traveling around. And I was just telling him congratulations. He was telling me congratulations. So it's definitely be good to see each other again.
So, you know, given that, you know, all this stuff happened in New York, how hard was it to, you know, basically move on to a new team?
Yeah, no, it was tough. It was definitely tough because, I mean, this is where I got my start at, got my opportunity. And, I mean, it's a great organization. I was definitely excited for just being here and playing in, the Mecca. I mean, this is the world's greatest arena playing here. So, I mean, it was definitely tough to go.
Yeah. So what about, you know, what was your relationship with Carmelo like? You know, he's being lauded as, you know, a leader on Team USA now. You know, he's kind of gotten a little bit of, like, a weird rap about how he is in the locker room because he's a laid-back guy. He's just, like, a cool dude. But, you know, from your perspective, was he, you know, did he take control of the locker room? Was he a good leader? Like, what did you learn from him during your time with the Knicks?
Nah, he's definitely a great leader. I mean, just his mindset going into the games, especially with the Knicks, he's definitely, I guess you say, when he's maturing now, and he's definitely understanding, like, all right, I'm getting older in my career. I have to be a better vocal leader. And I think that's just – as time goes on, sometimes it takes time to be a vocal leader. But, I mean, he's definitely one of those guys that you look up to, and then it's like, all right, how can I help in any situation that's going on in the court? And I think once he starts trusting his teammates, it definitely plays a huge part in it.
So another guy that people have a lot of interest in is Kristaps.
Yeah.
So I'm curious, did he walk in the first day and he was like, yo, turn on the future, like, I'm Kristaps Porzingis, or like, was it like a slow burn, like you had to get to know this guy a little bit?
Well, wait, he said he grew up watching World Star Hip Hop, so yeah, like, did he know?
Well, that's what I mean. Yeah. Did he walk in like...
He walked in like it was...
And it was just immediate?
Yeah, it was just I mean, hey, he's just a regular guy.
Okay.
And it's like, we all were trying to figure out, like, how does he know English as well? That was the first thing that I said myself. I was like, right. How does he know English? But then... as time went on, he just opened up, and I mean, he's real cool, real laid back, and I think he's definitely one of those guys that you'll look forward to seeing in the future. So,
and I mean, he's an absolute freak, and you know, now you're getting a chance to go play with Anthony Davis, you know, who's another freak of nature. Yeah. You know, just from from afar, Anthony Davis obviously, but up close, Kristaps, do they have any similarities to their game at all?
I think. They both real similar. I mean, they both 7 foot. That's number one, obvious. Yeah. But I mean, just being able to be so versatile. I mean, AD can dribble up and down the court like it's nothing. KP can do the same exact thing. And then shooting wise, I mean, you never see a 7 footer out there pulling threes. And I think AD has definitely added that to his game this past year, as you can see. And then now I think it's gonna definitely go forward from there. And then KP, he's literally. Started out like hitting threes left and right, and then people are like, whoa, like where did the kid come from? So they both are real versatile, and I think they both, I mean, hey, definitely bright futures.
So let's say like a pick and roll happens or something, you get switched off on one of those guys. Like, what do you do?
It's my size. I'm 6'2", so I just got to crowd them and just try to get the ball out of their hands as fast as possible.
So, fair enough.
What was the general reaction when Porzingis was drafted? You were on the team, then,
yeah.
Right?
I was on the team. Yeah, right, yeah,
cool.
Yeah.
I'm just making sure I got my dates straight. Because like, I mean, Knicks fans like booed him at the draft.
Yeah.
So
I remember.
What did the players think? Were like, who the hell is this kid? Or did you kind of know?
No, it's like it was weird because all the fans were like upset, and I was like, man, this kid like he's gonna be pretty good.
Yeah.
Just watching his workouts online. Because another kid I know from Baton Rouge, Jarrell Martin, he was getting he was in the same, I guess you say, workout group with him that was in Vegas, And he was just telling me, like, man, this kid's going to be good. And then I was watching some of the highlights, and it looked pretty good.
For you, on a personal level, I mean, I feel like looking at kind of like the arc of your career, this is a huge year for you.
Yeah.
What kind of expectations or goals do you have for yourself heading into this season?
Yeah, no, this is definitely a great year for me, and I'm excited. New opportunity to play with the Pelicans, but at the same time, I know that I just want to go out there and help the team any way possible, just trying to go out there play hard. And I think everything else will take care of itself, just going out there playing hard and just leave it all out there. So what I've been doing this whole summer, just started out before the wedding. I've been working out with my trainer, like I said, Drew Hanlon, working out with him with the Pure Sweat fam. All month of May was in South Carolina working out with those guys, just working on my handles and just working on being more consistent. And then literally a week before the wedding, I'm still working out with them out in South Carolina, and then I'm like, all right, it's time to go. I got to get back to Baton Rouge for this wedding. And then literally the wedding happened, and then as soon as it finished up, we left. Me and Sabrina left to go to L.A. to start working out with them again because they moved out to L.A. Just to meet up with a couple of the guys. They have Zach LaVine, Bradley Beal, Wiggins, Jordan Clarkson. Yeah, all those guys. They were all out there. So I was like, hey, this would be great for me to go out there, work out with those guys as well, but at the same time compete against each them as well. So we got a chance to play a couple one-on-ones, and it was good. I think I definitely got a lot out of it, and I think probably after this next couple weeks, I'll probably go back out there and get some more ones and definitely get some runs at UCLA before I finish up with some.
Oh, right, I've always heard like about those UCLA runs.
Yeah,
have you ever played in them before?
No. That'll be my first time if I go out there and play in them. And I hear it's definitely something.
Like Baron Davis and all those guys out there.
It's definitely
some
legend that you'll play against. So it'll be good.
What about any thoughts of showing up at any summer leagues?
I'll end up being out in Vegas while the summer league was going on. And just was out there, just happened to be out there that day, and the Pelicans was playing that day. So I was like, wow, I can definitely watch them and see what they do in the offense and stuff like that. So it was cool being out there, checking it out. And I think that, I mean, definitely a young squad, and they have a couple of like Buddy Hill and Chuck Diallo. They definitely did well.
We're big fans of Shaq.
Shaq is cool. Man. Yeah.
What about street, like showing up at street ball game? Any Drew League, Rucker League, stuff like that?
I'm still thinking about it. I don't know. They actually wanted me to play in Pure. In Pro City yesterday. One of my boys, Halil Kenasevic, he was like, "Yo, you got to come, man. If you're come play in the Pro City." I'm like, "I don't know." So I'm just resting right now, just until probably a little bit later on in the summer. I'll probably check out something.
Did any of those guys in some of those one-on-one stuff, some workouts in LA, did any of them in particular, did they come in, with a different looking body or with a different element to their game, and you're like, "Wow, I don't remember him being that good," or anything like that?
Everybody in the summertime, that's when you just try to tweak your game, mm-hmm. and try to figure out, like, what can I add? And, you look at Wiggins, he was definitely working on his three-pointer, so he's like, his three-pointer's coming up. And then Jordan Clarkson, he's another guy trying to get better with his three-pointer, and all the rest of the guys, they're just adding different things to the game. So it's going to be a pretty interesting year.
So when you see Zach LaVine dunk in person, describe something like that?
So it's weird because my guy Drew, he was saying, man, like, I've literally seen all his dunks, and it's like nothing that's impressive to him anymore. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, he's
every single one is
incredible.
He's out there going crazy. Yeah. Like, but Zach, he's definitely a phenomenal athlete. Yeah. And I think Drew, he's just like stunned that he can't even think about it anymore.
Yeah, so. I just saw Drew out in Vegas. He was out with Wiggins at like an Adidas event. So he's a very serious guy. Like, yo, it's all ball all the time.
Yeah, that's all it is. Yeah, yeah.
But enough about, boring basketball stuff. what's been on the summer playlist? What have you been listening to lately?
I've been pretty quiet lately. I'm a Louisiana guy down in my soul. So yeah. Webby just came out with something new.
Wow.
I'm trying to think what else came out. What else has come out lately?
Chance the Rapper just came out.
Yeah, listen to Chance, yeah.
Kevin Gates.
Yeah, Kevin Gates came out with something.
Thank you, Sabrina.
She's updating us. There's so much on my playlist right now because I've been on Spotify.
More importantly, what was on the wedding playlist?
Oh man.
Who was the DJ?
Like, late, like, the into the several hours in dance floor, that playlist.
So I give you the DJ first. So we had DJ Neil Armstrong.
Oh, word.
Wow. Man, he shut it down.
You probably met him through the Knicks, right?
I met him through the Knicks, and then we connected, and I was like, man, I got to have you here. He's like, man, I'm there. I was like, all right, perfect. So we definitely connected, and I mean, he shut it down. Really had
that guy is sick.
Yeah, he's sick. He really had like everything like right in I guess you say in motion, and then we just kept on going. So
wait, was it like classic No Limit records? Like
we had a little cash money came in there. So I mean, it was definitely cool.
Yeah, that's amazing. So wait, are you like a big Lil Wayne fan?
Big Lil Wayne fan. We had Lil Wayne. We had Boosie. We had all the down south rappers. So it was cool.
Yeah, I just spoke to Dame Lillard pretty recently. He said the first album he ever bought was The Block Is Hot.
That's throwing it back right there.
Imagine in high school for you, it must have been just peak. That's like peak Wayne, right?
It was. Years. It's crazy,
like,
because
Drought 3, like all that. Yeah.
Me and my friends, we would always have a competition in school, like every day. Like somebody would have something new. I'm like, where are you getting this from? Like people like have CDs. Like, yo, this is the new Wayne. I'm like, where you get this from? But I mean, we would have it in the car, and it's just like blasting it.
So wait, does like seeing Lil Wayne and Baby Beef like break your heart?
Yeah, it's tough because growing up, that's all we knew. All we knew, and then now it's like it's tough right now. So I'm like, man,
they gotta fix it.
Yeah, hopefully they fix it. I'm like, I gotta see Wayne one more time, like come back with all the old school stuff, and then just try to shut it down.
I have one last serious question for you, coming back home. We always argue in here and when we talk to different NBA players about, like, the merits of, coming home, playing in your home city. Mm-hmm. Is that a hard thing to do? Is it easier because you got kind of like your foundation around? So, I mean, you haven't done it yet, but so far trying to set up camp and stuff, like, do you feel like it's almost easier because you kind of know what's around, know who's around, you have your sort of inner circle there? Or do you feel like it's harder because more ticket requests, more people wanting your time, everything like that?
Yeah, so just to start off the whole thing, I mean, we actually, before we were going back home, we actually started a clinic. Me and Sabrina, we were trying to figure out what can we do for the city of Baton Rouge, like to truly try to start off, I guess you say, a homecoming. Mm-hmm. And we just figured it all out. She's been ahead of everything, and we have a one-day clinic back home for about 100 kids, free clinic for everybody, just to come down and more just helping the kids with being like student athletes and just being able to know that whole side of it. It's like, hey, it's like basketball is key, but at the end of the day, it's like you need to work on your education and definitely taking care of your health and your faith as well. So it's like we wanted to definitely promote that. The first thing we wanted to do when we got back home, and then going forward with just going back home is definitely exciting, because I know that this is my first time going back home to play professionally. And it's like in high school I played, and it was great, but it's like it's not the same as like being an NBA player. And like you said, the tickets and everything, I know that's gonna come, but I'm not really worried about it. I have her; she'll take care of all that. And I'm just gonna go out there, focus on the business at hand, and taking care of whoever we're playing that night, and everything else will just fall into place.
Cool. I mean, last one for me is: have you guys gone on your honeymoon yet?
No, we haven't. We haven't. It's definitely a surprise right now.
Trying
to surprise her. So, we're going somewhere August 9th. So.
That's amazing.
Yeah, she's excited.
Yeah.
Is it cool? Is it cool if we come with?
Yeah. Right. We can hop on that too, right?
Yeah, you can hop on the plane.
We'll stay on the way. Yeah. We just want the free trip.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, yeah.
Nah, Lyson, we appreciate it, man. That was dope.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, best of luck this year. We'll be rooting for you. Welcome back anytime, man.
Yeah, so, thank you. Thank you for having me in, and I'm definitely glad to come into the studio and check it out.
All right, man. Thank you.
Yep.